Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Well, today we are going to talk about parenting and children a little bit. And like I said, this isn't like a series on parenting. This is more of a, we're hitting each of the major areas of the family unit and just talking about it biblically, but we're not going in depth on some stuff. But we've already talked about, first husbands and the role of the husband, the role of the wife. And I encourage you to, if you missed it, it's on the web. And because that's the foundation, the world now is a lot of times child-centered, has got it backwards, or somewhere in there has got it backwards. We talked about the husband-wife relationship and what the Bible has to say about that. And if we'll just do it God's way, it works. It just does, because he should know, right? He's the designer. He knows what works. There's a lot of men's ideas out about what people think work, and it doesn't. We can see that. We can see that people have their lives in a mess. But, man, we have a tendency to be proud. And if we don't just give our lives over to God, we can get our lives in a mess. And then like the proverb says, that we mess our life up and then we fret against God and blame him. And we don't have to do that. We're all growing. We're all going to make mistakes, and that's a given. But thank God he gave us his word so that we have a guide. We don't have to reinvent the wheel again. There's no reason to do that. There's no reason to figure out everything just by trial and error. But we talked. Let's start in Colossians 3:18, the first scripture there. And this is just a flyover and a summary of the family unit. Colossians 3:18. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." We hit those different points. The man is the head of the home. He has that authority, but he has a heavy responsibility as well. He's supposed to love his wife and his family as Christ loved the church. That's a tall order. And conversely then, the wife is to submit to the husband as she does to the Lord. So just like she relates to the Lord and submits to him and does what he would have her to do, that's the same relationship that the wife should have to her husband. And the husband's not there to lord it over his wife in any way, no more than Jesus lords it over us. It's that same, that's why Paul over in Ephesians used that picture. That's not a man who's bossing people around, no more than Jesus bosses people around. He's Lord, but he's kind and gentle when he needs to be. He loves people and talk to them direct when he needs to be, but he's not a dictator. He could be, but he's not. And so that's the dynamic there. And if we'll just, some people try to tell God what to do in their life. Well, I think this is a better thing. I think I should go this place and whatever, like we were alluding to earlier. And it doesn't work. And it doesn't work in the family either. When the wife tries to take a place that's not hers, and if we'll just get it all in harmony, and it works. And everybody just is content and happy. So we talked about that. That's the foundation. Because everything we're going to talk about today, bottom line is, if we were to sum up parenting and children and their role, they're going to look at the husband and wife, the mom and dad. Bottom line is the example that's set there, that's the biggest factor in the child's life, period. We can all read all the books we want about children and parenting, but if the relationship between the husband and wife is not good, there's going to be problems with the kids because they're going to take their cues from the parents. The boys are going to watch that dad. He's going to say, "How do you treat mom?" And he's going to act that way. And before he becomes strong enough to use his physical strength to do any damage, he needs to know how to submit to his mom under authority. He needs to know that she's in charge, if she's the one at home, of course, to his dad as well. But she needs to know who's boss and that she needs to obey, or that he needs to obey, before he's big enough and strong enough to do anything about it. To do, use his physical strength for wrong. He watches his dad, how he treats the wife and mother. He's stronger than her, usually, Not in all circumstances, but usually when you get a pair, usually the man's the stronger physically than the woman. But he doesn't use that strength, or shouldn't use that strength, to knock her around. Shouldn't use that strength to bully her. He might be sharp at work, smart, but he doesn't come home and use that wit to deride her. Doesn't berate her. If the boy is watching his dad, he's seeing that the man loves his wife, treats her nice, even though, you know, he looks at his dad and says, you know, I know he could hit the baseball out of the park. I know he's strong. He could do anything. He could beat anybody up. But he treats my mom nice. And that's how he's going to learn how to treat women. And that's how he's going to learn how to turn out. Conversely, the little girls are going to watch their mom and how she relates to her daddy. She's going to watch her daddy and see how he treats her mommy. He treats her bad. What's she going to look for in life? Going to look for that same thing. She's going to end up marrying somebody. Well, that's the way my daddy was. That's what's going to, she's getting, we wonder, you know, why things happen that don't turn out the way we want. But that's, it comes back to the relationship between the husband and wife. That's the foundation. And, you know, Adam and Eve were created first, then they had children. That's the first relationship, and we have to protect that. So that is the biggest factor, period. If we get that in order, a lot of things are just going to fall in place, because really, the Bible goes through and says some things about parenting, but a lot of it's just basically, you teach your kids what you know. You teach your kids the relationship that you have with God. You show them how to be godly. It's basically how you know what you've seen in the Word, you teach it to them and bring them up. It does give some guidelines, but that's in an essence. And if we don't have our lives, if we're not doing certain things, then we expect somehow that they're going to change, turn out different. They're not going to do the things that we do, and they're going to do what we tell them. We all know that doesn't work. I mean, it's one of the most frustrating things in the world and most humbling things in the world when you watch your child do something and you correct them, and you know darn well why they're doing it, because they're emulating you. They're following your example, but it's frustrating when you see it in them. But you know that the reason they're doing it is because you did it. That can be tough. Thank God for His grace and His mercy, and that we don't have to do everything perfect. We want to follow the Word of God to the best of our ability. We're not playing loosey-goosey, because our decisions matter as far as our children. But on the other hand, thank God for His grace, and that if we'll follow Him and do what we know to do, God's grace will help our kids. But the bottom line is, we give them a foundation centered around God. So let's, before we go on, let's just read through those again. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Obey. Children, obey your parents. Kids are supposed to obey their parents. Doesn't say, children, ask your parents questions until you have it figured out. Then maybe you decide if you want to do that or not. It does not say that. Today in this society, we're taught to question and taught to question everything. And you know what? That's not a godly outlook. I'm not saying we shut our brains off. But this attitude that everything's questioned, we got to figure out everything, that doesn't assume that there's a God. That type of outlook. It's an ungodly outlook. And if we bring our kids up like that, there are some things. Have you heard this? People say, well, you know, I don't want to be one of those parents that just says, because I said so. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, because I said so. Because we're just training our kids to be His kids. They're His kids now, but sooner or later, they're going to be out in the real world, dependent on their relationship with Him. We're training them in our relationship with our kids and how they interact with us to let them go, and now they're going to interact with God. And there are times God's going to tell you to do something, and you may say, why? And He's not going to tell you. Because I said so. He will say that over and over, because He doesn't have to tell you. He expects you to trust Him. That's faith. I can speak from experience. It's in the Word, but over and over. You know, God did not tell Abraham where to go. He said, go. And Abraham went, not knowing where he was going. How well would that fly today for most people? I'm going. I'm leaving. What? Where are you going? I don't know. I assume that when I need to know, I'll know. You know? That would not, most people say, oh, you're a fool. You better get your, you know, GPS, and you better figure out your route. You better figure out everything. You're not planning ahead. You're irresponsible. Father of the faith. God said, go. Abraham said, yes, sir. I guess you'll tell me the part about where later. He didn't say, he said, because I said so, and Abraham evidently didn't ask him. Why? So if we're training our children to have a relationship with him, then we ought to emulate God in how we deal with them. And so if we tell them, they don't need to know, Daddy, Mommy said, that's the way it is. Your job, obey. You don't, you know, because there's certain things you can't explain to a three-year-old. You could spend 3 hours trying to explain, and they won't get it. The same thing with God. God doesn't have to explain. You may not be able to understand why you're doing something. And so he tells you to do something. He could explain it to you, but you wouldn't get it because you don't have the context. So you just trust him. That's the way it is. And so we're training our children to have that type of relationship with him. So it is perfectly valid to say, obey, kid, and I expect it. That is a biblical perspective. But that's not what the world tells us now. Well, you know, they can question. And I'm not saying we shut their brains. The kids are going to question. They're going to do that. I'm not saying we go to this extreme and like, shut up, kid. You shouldn't be talking. No. But I'm talking about a rebellious thing where they're saying, well, why should I do that? What about that? I need to know why before I'm going to obey you. I need to understand. That's not right. And that's what's being promoted. People don't want to tell their kids. They don't want to train them. Tell them what God says because they might turn them off to God. Well, the Bible does not say that. That's a wrong perspective. Let's read a few more scriptures. Let's see where should we go? Let's skip down to Proverbs 22. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It says to train him up in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. And I've said this before, but, you know, like I know somebody personally. And they told us the way they raise their kids, they just believe, you know, they don't want to influence them. They don't want to influence them for any religion or whatever. They don't want to give them any direction. They don't want to, you know, basically mess with their, send them in any specific direction. So they just kind of let them make their own decision. And, you know, they don't really know what's right. So it's a personal thing. They'll just raise them. And that's the way they raise their kids. This person today, they don't believe anything specifically. I mean, the parent. To begin with, they just believe whatever. So guess how their kids turned out? What do you think they ended up like? Same way. Just like their parents. They don't go to church anywhere. They don't believe anything. They kind of believe whatever. Well, they trained them up in the way that... They trained them up in a way. They think it sounds like a philosophy. Well, I'll just let them figure out. Well, they say, okay, that's how it's done. I guess you just kind of muddle through life. Okay, that's the way it's done. So, that's what we reproduced. You know, the Bible says for we're supposed to train them up. It's a responsibility to train them up in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's why it's hard for people to get saved the older they get. Not impossible. People get saved all the time. But most people just believe whatever they were taught when they got brought up. They don't know why. And we have to be careful of that. There's certain areas, times where I've seen that in my own life. I was like, you know, I thought I was believing the word, but really, when I saw certain things, I'm really believing, for lack of a better term, religion. What I thought was right. What I heard taught as right. And not even from the pulpit, just got, you know, you hear somebody say something, you kind of get an impression, and then somebody's saying something from the pulpit, or you're hearing something, and if something gets you mad, irritates you, watch that. Why are you mad at the person, or I don't know what they're preaching at, or whatever? You know, I saw that there's certain things that irritate me. I was like, wait a minute. Now, if I know the truth, why am I mad when the person's saying something? I mean, there's a righteous indignation. Somebody's preaching against the word. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about just like, just like an anger, like a bitterness rising up. That's a sign of something in you. And why would I, if I knew the truth and somebody's speaking something that's different than the truth, why would that produce an anger? If I'm really in the truth, shouldn't I be at peace and just be like, well, I see what you're saying, brother, but really the word says this. And so I see what you're saying. I mean, I don't have any animosity. I think you're wrong because I believe you're wrong because I can see it in the word that it clearly says this. So I'm not mad at you. But if I'm irritated and mad because I think something they're saying is really getting on my nerves, watch it, because they could be stepping on your toes and it's really religion. You have something that you believe is right and they're killing a sacred cow or something, and when it's what produces anger and just this bitterness, it's not God. The devil will, if the light's coming in, this happens all the time. People get mad. Oh, I don't like the guy's hair. I don't like, what's he saying that for? And so the truth is coming, so the devil will do everything he can, the enemy will do everything he can to get you out of the way of the truth or to get you offended so you don't hear the truth. So if you start getting mad, warning should be go on. Why am I mad? Is it really God that's trying to get something to me? And that I am really, I have something here. I have a blind spot. I have some religion in me, and I didn't realize it. And really, what the man's saying is true. And let God be God, and the word's true. And so, you know, people, we have to be careful that, because we all have that somewhere. Somewhere, I mean, I know I do. I'm learning. I'm seeing, okay, you know, growing, continue. I'm not where I'm going to be in 25 years. We're all growing. We all grow. We didn't start out, you know, early. I mean, we can be trained up in the word. Don't get me wrong, but that's not a bad confession. That's just the truth. My mind's being renewed. It's not perfectly renewed in all areas. And I dare say, that probably applies to everybody on the face of the earth. There may be some people walking around that are really seasoned, that are pretty close, but, you know, in general, we're going to be dealing with the flesh, and we're renewing parts of our mind. So we got to watch those places that maybe aren't renewed. But train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's just read there on your sheet, 2 Timothy 3. 14 through 15 says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. From childhood you've known the holy scriptures. And we can train our children up. They can know the scripture from childhood. They don't have to go off and not know them. They can know. We can train them up so that they can know. Another scripture there on your sheet, Deuteronomy 6. This says, now this is the commandment. These are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, and that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your sons and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What's he saying? These things that I'm telling you, they ought to be in every part of your life. You ought to be an example to your children. They ought to hear about the word of God at home, at dinner, when you're just fellowshipping. They ought to go to church. They ought to have that example. They ought to get the Word of God. They ought to be indoctrinated. There's nothing wrong. That has a bad connotation, but they need to just be taught and brought up, surrounded and immersed with faith and love and good teaching. Doctrine is just teaching. We need to indoctrinate them with the right thing. The world doesn't like that. You're closed-minded. You're an idiot. You don't have an open mind. That's not true. We are supposed to be closed-minded on certain things. And there is an attack to get us to release the things that are held dear to us, that the Word says. And so he says, let's read through some of this again. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God, keep all his statutes and his commands. Our behavior means something in front of our kids. We ought to keep the word. It's not a light thing. Which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, your whole family. You ought to have, put it into them all the days of your life, and that all your days may, or that your days may be prolonged. These words I command you today shall be in your hearts. It comes back. Who's he talking to? He's talking about the parents. He's talking about the people. They ought to be in your heart. You ought to be living them. Your relationship ought to be good. And then, because that is so, you shall teach them diligently. That means consistently, constantly, with conviction. You shall teach them to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, when you're going to Target or when you're going to the mall or when you're going to a ball game. You know, they ought to know. We believe God. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It ought to be posted. I mean, you know, not literally. We can do whatever we want as a family, but they ought to see it. They ought to know, no question, what we believe. This is what we believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Praise you, Lord. And so it comes down to that. Just be an example. Now, I want to touch on something along with this issue of, I just want to touch on it just because it's in the Word and not the, you know, happiest thing. But when we're talking about children, I want to read 2 Timothy, before we go on, 2 Timothy 3. Let's just read this on your sheet, and then we'll turn to some scripture. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And that's a pretty big list, a lot of stuff there. Notice there's disobedient to parents there too. In the last days, perilous times are going to come. People, they don't respect authority at all. They're going to be, they don't care. People, you know, treat elderly people with no more respect than they would, or less respect than they would one of their teenage buddies or something. Just no respect for anything. Well, that's here. You can see it. And it goes through. It's not the first time stuff's been here. But disobedient to parents, just rebellion. And one of the reasons, and I want to talk about it, people do not spank like they should. And I want to touch on that issue because it's under attack. I mean, you see it every once in a while in Massachusetts. They'll get a petition going and try to pass a law about spanking. It's in the Bible. So us as Christians, we ought to know what the Bible says, and we ought to stand up and be able to do what love is for our children without any intimidation or anything, without fear. Because it's in the Bible. We have a right to exercise our beliefs in this country. Now, we're not talking about abuse. We're not talking about beating our children up. But the Bible says, and we'll see clearly, that if you don't discipline them, and if they need a spanking, that's part of it. And that is sometimes the only thing that will straighten them up. And in past ages, I know I got spankings. I would imagine most people in here got spankings. When you needed one, my dad did not hesitate to give me one. And I thank God for it. And we knew if it was coming, you know, there's probably different methods. I mean, I don't have to go there, but, you know, I knew if it was coming. And that is not an act of abuse. It is an act of abuse not to do it. God is smart. He can make multi-purpose parts on your body. You know, you got your rear end, it's soft, it's nice to sit on, but it's a place that can be cause pain, but not lasting pain. It can cause, boy, I mean, you can get some good pain there, but, you know, after a while, there's no lasting damage. That is by design. God is smart. And we're not talking about, you know, abusing a child, knocking him around, berating him. That is not, people try to twist it into that, see, oh, you're going to teach violence by hitting a kid. You will not teach violence by spanking your child. You'll show them, like we were talking about earlier, you'll show them to restrain themselves. When that little boy gets a spanking, you know, from his mother or father when he is little, he'll learn not to hit. So that when he has the strength to actually do some damage, he'll already know that's not what a gentleman does. You know, a lady, probably, you know, in general, boys get more spankings than girls, but probably not all the time. But anyway, let's read some scripture. We're not going to take my word before. We're not going to read some parenting book. Let's look to it. I want to look it up in your Bible. Let's turn to Proverbs 30. Because, there are so many philosophies. My goodness, I don't look on some, but every once in a while there'll be some article, and then, boy, I don't spend a lot of time reading comments because they're a waste of time because they're just a broken record. You can see one side saying one thing, then the other side responding to that. But you just see the people just spouting things that are ungodly, not based on the word, based on philosophies. You know, I read there was some article every once in a while. You'll see an article pop up about how people that were spanked or whatever don't rate so high in some IQ test, trying to scare you, trying to say, well, if you do that, you know, you're not going to turn out right. See, science is telling. I guarantee you, science will never find something, some study that proves that spanking is wrong, because the Word of God clearly states it. And through tradition, it's been passed down as well. And people know, most people that are spouting that, they got spankings. Now, maybe they got abused. And so, you know, you can see why people oppose it in that case. But before we go on to some of these other scriptures, Proverbs 30, 17. Now, this is one of those topics that we just need to go over. People aren't going to probably get up and start running around the room or anything, but, you know, that we need to know the truth and we need to proclaim it. Proverbs 30:17 says, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it." The child that's rebellious, it does not bode well for them. And so the first question, is that what we want for our children? Do we want them to act like that so that's their future? If we love them, would we do something to stop that from happening? Of course, the answer is yes. Proverbs 29:17, just a chapter back. It says, "Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." Correct him. Now, we're going to read lots of things that talk about specifically how to correct them, and that it's not, you know, always the same way. But correct your son, and he will give you rest. He won't be a handful. At some point, you know, kids will be kids. They're not going to be robots. But God's word's true. So before, let's stay in Proverbs, but on your scripture sheet there, so we don't have to flip over on Romans. I just want to read this verse before we get going into some of these specific scriptures. Romans 6, verse 20 says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Verse 23, the wages of sin is death. When we are training up our children, what the spanking does is let them know there are consequences to you disobeying God in your life. That's the whole purpose. is so that they see that if you disobey your parents, which again, we're training them so that they have a relationship with God. So eventually, they're going to do the same thing with you or with God as they do with you. So if you disobey mommy and daddy, the Bible says clearly, obey your parents. So if you're disobeying mommy and daddy, you are disobeying God. If you disobey God, it's going to cause pain in your life. It will cause pain. And if they don't learn that when they're young, they might, you know, some people just need to hit a concrete wall before they figure it out. They keep going and going till they get in trouble with the law and they get thrown in a cell. And there's nowhere else for them to go anymore. And they got the pain caught up from them. We don't want that for our children, because sooner or later the consequences will hit them. And so it's a matter of giving them some pain on the rear end or giving them some pain in every facet of their life when they've destroyed it and blown it up or maybe killed other people. We just had a massacre, you know, in Colorado. Why do those things happen? We're not going to pass judgment. You know, God is a forgiving God. He's a loving God. But our actions matter. In that case, that man did not just mess up his whole own life. He messed up at least 50 families, some irrevocably. They lost a loved one because he chose to do something and thought it was somehow okay to take somebody else's life. Where did that start? Again, I'm not passing judgment. I don't know the situation. But I'm saying in general, something happened or he opened himself up to something. Our behaviors matter and our children's behaviors matter. We don't ever want to see them go through any type of pain close to that. But we have a responsibility. So I'll go back to Proverbs. Let's turn back to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Now, we're just going to see this in the Word and let the Word be the Word. And, you know, we all have to see these things, what we believe. We don't believe it even because somebody else said it. It's because the Word of God said it. If it's in the Word, it'll work. Proverbs 13, 24. He who spares his rod hates his son. That doesn't mince any words. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly or early, literally, that means. He who spares his rod hates his son. Most people that are saying, oh, you shouldn't spank or you shouldn't discipline using that, they would think, oh, but I love them. I could never, I've heard this, I could never spank my child. I love them too much. I just couldn't see them. The Bible says you hate your son. It's not easy. We all know if you've been a parent, have to spank a child, it's not the fun thing. It's not like something you sign up for, you want to do. We don't want to do that, our flesh. But if we love them, we have to do certain things that we don't want to do for their better good down the line. Proverbs 22:15. Let's turn there. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. See, that kids are not just born good. You know, some people think that, have a philosophy that, well, you know, they're just they're pure and it's all their environment and it's all molded and they're just pure as the wind-driven snow. And if, you know, the kid will just grow up and there's nothing bad in them. That's not true. No. They have flesh. They don't know how to handle it. And the Bible clearly says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Let's go to Proverbs 23. It's just the next page. We'll skip down there. Proverbs 23:13. Oh, actually, nah, go back to Proverbs. I'll just do it in the order I have it. Proverbs 29:15, just a few chapters over. Proverbs 29:15. It says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. A child left to himself will bring shame. We have a responsibility to direct and guide that child. Now let's turn back to Proverbs 23:13. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. That sounds, you know, a little hard. I'm going to read that in a different translation because we're not talking about, you know, beating the child, literally sitting there with an iron rod, you know, crushing. Now, that would be abuse. Almost that verse, the way it's written in the New King James almost gives that picture. But read it in the New International Version. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. He may sound like he's going to die. He may cry like he's going to die, but he's not going to die. It's not going to kill him. He's just going to have a red rear end. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Let's turn over one more. Proverbs 20, verse 30. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Now, I just included that there. There is something, and you know, if you've ever given a spanking in love, you can see this. I don't know how many times this happened. Man, you're having trouble with that kid, and you get to the point where you determine the child needs a spanking. You know, and they're just being a handful, and you give them a spanking, and something happens in that child. I mean, it's like I've seen my children do it so many times where it's like they just give you a hug, and they're just like, you know, I'm sorry, and then it's like everything is okay. Their conscience is purged. They know they're doing something wrong, and it just keeps them going. They keep doing it, and they almost get worse, and then you give them what they need. Sometimes you wait too long, which, you know, is you should have given them a spanking early, but you keep going, and then they get to where you're so frustrated, you're like, why am I so frustrated? Oh, because they're pushing me. I should have done it early. I should have done it. And that's part of, you know, as parents, we learn and grow. But you do it, and then it's just like they are the sweetest things. It's like they're close to you. They come give you a hug. Man, I've had it where then they just want to be with you the rest of the evening, and they're sitting by you. You didn't drive them away. You got them right back where they should be. They knew that they needed discipline. They knew they were doing it wrong, and it helped them. It was like the payment's been made. Mommy and Daddy, we're okay now. And you know, God made it that way. We're training them to have a relationship with Him. If we run away from Him and go do stupid things as an adult, they're going to have to come back and say, God, I blew it. I'm sorry. And that does the same thing as an adult. It says, okay, we're okay now. But people that go and they want to think they just can keep doing stuff, it's bothering them inside. They can't keep doing it. It's the same thing with the child. So we'll wrap it up here, but just on your sheet there, Colossians 3:21, we read this, but let's come full circle. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. I want to read that in the Living Bible. Fathers, don't scold your children so much that they become discouraged and quit trying. Why did He tell fathers this? He told them that they should obey, the children should obey. He told them that we should train them and discipline them. But I think, you know, mothers and fathers could do this, but specifically He said it with fathers. Fathers would be the head, and eventually they tend to be probably a little bit, you know, the daddy, you're going to bring home, you don't want to deal with daddy when he gets home, a little bit harder maybe. But He said, don't bring this too far. This is not an excuse to berate our kids, to go too far, and to get it, so to provoke them to where they don't love God. You can't push them too far to where they quit trying. Every little thing they do is wrong. They get a spanking for everything, and it breaks their spirit. And He gives a warning multiple times. He said the same thing in Ephesians. You don't go too far. And there's a balance. And there's a biblical balance. If men are supposed to love their wife as the church, they're still supposed to love their children that same way too. So it's not an excuse to spank them for everything. There's a balance, and we have to learn that when it's rebellion, when it's something, and we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And there are other methods, and we're not talking about all methods. I want to touch on that specifically, because being an example and using that punishment when possible is a lot of what the Bible has to say. There are other methods. Of course, we can relate to our kids, you know, and just train them and all that. And that's, we're led on all that stuff. But, you know, we're not going to go into all that today. This isn't like an exhaustive parenting course. We're just touching on what the Bible has to say. But amen, God wants us to have good families, just harmony. And more and more, it's just taking courage to stand up and do what we know the Bible says in this society, because we're getting pushed from every side to do in the relationship between the husband and wife, relationship between the kids and the parents. We're getting pushed and being sold lies that go against that biblical model, and it's ripping people's families apart, but we're still being pushed it, and we're being pushed it more, and it's ripping it the fabric more, and we had to stand up and just say, no, my family is going to be according to the Bible. And it'll go well with us because the Bible says it. Thank you, Lord.